Hey out there, Heritage Radio Network listeners. You have tuned in to a very special report. We are in studio with Yana Gilbuena talking about the Salo Project. Yana, welcome to the studio.
Hi, Erin. Thanks for having me.
So back in New York after a whirlwind 50-state tour, how are you doing?
I think I'm doing great. It was a lot to process.
And probably continue to process. Well, for folks who aren't familiar with the project, why don't you give us the elevator pitch?
Okay, so I embarked on a 50-state journey doing Filipino pop-up dinners in each state in about 52 weeks. I kind of lingered in Hawaii.
not a bad place to linger.
Yeah.
So where did the genesis, the idea for the project come from? I mean, and why not just 50 dinners or 50 states and 50 dinners? That's very ambitious. And in 1 year, I mean, come on.
Well, I kind of had to give myself a time limit. Otherwise, I would just be wandering still. But I think the whole concept of the project it got birthed because I was doing pop-ups here in Brooklyn, and I've been wanting to take it bi-coastal. And as I was planning it, I got laid off from my real job. And so I kind of took it as the universe giving me a way out. And so I kind of did 4 pop-ups in 4 weeks. And when I got back here to New York, I kind of told my friend that I was hey, I don't really want to work for someone anymore. And how do I make this thing happen? And he was well, there's 50 states and there's 52 weeks. Go figure it out.
You're all right, shut up and push.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel folks obviously want to know how you're supporting yourself.
So basically the dinners pay for themselves forward. I do charge for the dinners. And actually during the 50-state project, I was actually raising money for a charity organization called ARC. So what they do is they rebuild schools in the Philippines, especially in the region where I'm from, which is in the Visayas, in the island Panay. And they have a farming and feeding program. So it's great for me because it's a full circle. I work with food, and it's great to share this with the people back home and basically teaching them that they can be self-sustaining as well.
I wonder about that when you kind of are chatting with parents or friends or relatives. Are they Yana, you're crazy? I honestly, I don't know that much about Filipino culture. So I'm wondering if people are you go girl, or what they think of what you're doing.
I think the first time I told my mom that I was doing this, she was how are you making money?
My first question.
The other thing was, she was so are you going to grow out of this phase? That's the other thing that they were a little concerned. They think that I was going through a quarter life crisis or something, that I just was I'm leaving, but I think it's something that they don't understand because it's a weird profession. I mean, it's kind of weird to even call it a profession at this point because it's just something that I'm really passionate about. And I was not trained, culinarily, and I just kind of took it upon myself to just do it. So for them, they were how are you doing it? Don't you have to have a degree in something to be able to do something like this? Or have a support system, get sponsors? And I'm just no one's gonna do it, and if I don't do it, so I'm gonna do it.
I like that there is a certain amount of this kind of well, Yana, who's giving you permission to do this?
Yes.
I'm not asking for permission.
Exactly.
I'm just going to do it. Well, we were so curious, how some spots are obvious. I mean, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, big food towns. How did you kind of strategize where you were going to go next? And did you have a year planned out, or was it more kind of all right, I have the next couple of weeks of my life and then who knows?
I actually sat down and pulled up a map of America and I was routing, planning my route according to the season. So I was kind of like chasing the sun.
Nice.
So at that time when I started, it was like March and it was like hella cold here in New York. So I was like, I am going to go super south. I'm going to go to Key West and, you know, start from there. And I was thinking as the months were progressing, the weather would be progressing as well. So it was great to see the transition from like the lower part of the eastern coast all the way up to Maine and all the way to like Alaska, you know, during the months that I was there. And I think I did hit the right places at the right time, because for me, I love to source everything locally and seasonally as well. So the best producer in the times that I'm there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the things that you probably could not source locally everywhere you went, and I'd be curious how you sourced it, is, you know, banana leaves. So a staple of Filipino cooking, and not something I'd ever even heard of in Michigan, where I'm from. So can you talk a little bit about some of the more challenging ingredient sourcing that you had to do?
Oh, man. Well, banana leaves was definitely one of them. Like in North Dakota, in Bismarck, I was in Bismarck, and there was just no Asian stores whatsoever. There was like, they kind of had a Walmart supercenter and like another bigger grocery chain. And I'm so happy I actually found fish sauce there, which is amazing. But there was definitely no banana leaves. So I opted for like the next best thing, which was butcher paper. So they were the only state in all the 50 states that I did not get banana leaves.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's up, Dakotas? Let's get, you know, step it up.
Yeah.
Step it up. Well, so it's kind of crazy political times in America right now. And I think that being here in New York, we have a tendency to do a lot of finger wagging at the middle of the country about, you know, kind of perceived bias to people who are not like them.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, you just came off of this trip where you got to go everywhere, and I'm wondering how it left you feeling about America and Americans.
You know what? When I was going to, like, as you said, middle America, like Omaha, Nebraska, Des Moines, Iowa, Boise, Idaho, like all of my friends were so concerned. They're like, what are you gonna do there? Like, who do you even know? How do you think they're going to react to Filipino food, you know? And mind you, I'm not a typical Filipina either. Like, I have a shaved head with blue hair. So what a great representation of my people.
She also has these like amazing peeled banana earrings that are kind of like big and glass and jangly. And I'm like, yes. Yeah. So, you know, you're looking different in many counts, of course.
Yeah. So, but I was so pleasantly surprised of how welcoming people were and how receptive they were actually. Like, I mostly reached out to journalists, food bloggers, and Instagrammers, whatever, when I was there. And I couldn't even believe how they were so interested about it. I thought that at first they were like, oh, what is that? I don't want to go, you know? But they're like, oh, this is so cool. I want to be a part of it. And it turned out like Des Moines, Iowa was one of my favorites, actually, because everyone in the community just came together. Like, the chefs helped me. They helped me source ingredients. The farmers gave me, like, you know, their produce, and everyone just came together, and it was the same throughout. Like, it was like an awesome pattern that kept on happening. And to be honest, this trip like made me feel that the middle of America is not what a lot of people have, you know, have in their minds. Like, and it just returned my faith in humanity, actually. So it's great.
That sounds, I'm like getting a little bit chills here. It's like, too, something we think about a lot here on the network is like the power of food. I feel like when we're talking about food, it gives us this opportunity to talk about everything else, you know, politics, culture, history, race relations. And, you know, I have to think that like the kind of point of a project like yours is to, you know, get people around a table and spark some conversations to change some minds. I mean, how do you kind of evaluate the success of the project other than it happened, which is a huge accomplishment? But when you think back to like specific dinners or like how you hope that people's time there will be remembered, like what are your kind of goals and how did you do?
I think one good measure of like how successful one of my dinners went was I would still get messages from these people, basically saying that they've met so many people during my dinner, how they've remained friends, and now they talk about like having more Filipino food in their lives and asking me for recipes, you know. And it's just so nice that I kind of left a little, you know, a little legacy out there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I feel like having them dine like on banana leaves with their hands is also another experience that you normally don't get in any restaurant. So for them, it was pushing their boundaries of like traditional eating and pushing their palates as well, in terms of exploring Filipino cuisine.
So, biggest biases about Filipino food? Like, what do we get wrong?
I think the most biggest bias is that everything is just brown. You know? It's a brown mush. What is it? We don't know. Well, you know, most of the time, there's a lot of stews. And typically, Filipino food is not something that there's an actual technique to it, not like French food where it's like super like how the process, how to make things is like details, all in the details. And then for us, you know, if I was back home and my grandma would make you something or my aunt would make you something, it's like, oh, let's go to the market, throw everything in the pot, boom, we've got food. So it was kind of like a challenge to present that as well, in a different light, in a different format, in a way that it's appealing to people, you know. And collaborating with so many awesome chefs, like I learned along the way, like, and you know, from someone who started with pretty much like zero culinary experience in terms of like restaurant stuff, like I'm so happy that I've been able to learn and grow through this project as well.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you're impacting, you're being impacted, I'm sure inspired. What's next? I mean, where are we looking? What are we looking at as we kind of are like marching towards the end of 2015? I mean, how do you top it? What's 2016? I mean, come on. It's, you got to be a little bit like, oh, come on, guys. I just did this big thing. I need to rest.
Well, the next thing that I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go to Central and South America and do the Central and South America tour.
Nice. So keep on. We're taking it to, we're like the next continent.
Yep. And I think I want to keep doing this. I think my goal is to finish traveling the world by the time I'm 35. I have 3 years.
Nice.
So I think that's a good goal.
I think that's a great goal. It's like an ambitious goal. And also nice to have like a project that like orients you from stop to stop. So regardless of like the different spaces that you're going to be in, there's a certain amount of sameness or routine on some level to like your life.
There is.
Or no. No, that's just me projecting my like weird type A need. I'm like, how do we put this into a system?
I mean, it's so funny because people are like, oh, you've got this all down pat now, like doing pop-up dinners. Yeah, you can do it with your eyes closed. And it's like, actually, no, because every place is so different and every space that I've worked in is so different that you just kind of have to adapt to where you're at. Like, it's not all the time I get the luxury of working or doing a pop-up in a restaurant space that has an industrial kitchen. Sometimes I'd be cooking at someone's house and they happen to have an electric stove. And since I've been using all of it today, like all the fuse broke, you know, like
right.
I blew a fuse, like, and I'm just like, what do we do now? You know? So, or sometimes it will have to be outdoors, like on a grill, whatever. So, but in terms of like my life as a routine, I have like a week most of the time to get my, you know, my bearings straight when I get to a place. Most of the time I try to find like a good host that can show me where to go, not just like the touristy stuff, but like I want to see where the locals hang out and find a local yoga studio, because I feel like that's the only workout that I can do that can I can actually meditate. So yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of like taking, that was like kind of my next question, is like, how do you kind of take care of yourself, like physically, emotionally, when, you know, so many of the things I feel like people often depend on in their life for those things.
Yeah.
Like having a home, sleeping in the same bed, like having your stuff, having like the way that you do things. So it sounds like you kind of set that up for yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, I do miss having like a support network. Like, you know, sometimes if I feel down, like I can't just call my friend and be like, hey, let's go have happy hour. Let's go for a drink or a nightcap, whatever. It's like, no, I can't call them like, you know, to come to be here physically.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I'm in a different time zone. And when I call them, they're either asleep or they're at work. And, you know, having to not be able to rely on your friends anymore for emotional support was something that I had to really cope with, you know, and be able to find solace like in myself and be okay with that, you know, and it's a little hard.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, obviously I think a lot about what makes this project work now too is the fact that we live in this like social media environment. I mean, yeah. Do you think that's been critical to being able to do this type of work?
Definitely, because I think, let's say 10 years ago, if I wanted to do this project, I would have gone through an extensive amount of research. And then not being able to just have a week in terms of turnaround time for each place, because I have to be there for at least like 2 or 3 weeks and find the right people to get the word out and all that stuff. But since social media is so easy, a single tweet can reach like 1,000 people in that area. And most of the time people are so receptive to this. Like, I feel like we're all connected in this virtual global world or network, and it's so beautiful, you know? Yeah.
No, that's like the powers of the internet can be used for good.
Yes. Captain Internet to the rescue.
So when do you push off for South America?
I'm leaving in Texas on January 4th, and I arrive in Colombia pretty much like 5 a.m. on January 5th. So, and then from there, it's kind of like an open-ended trip, because I still have a Filipino passport, so I don't know if I can go to certain countries without having a visa, but most of the countries in South America, I can just go without one, so which is great.
So if folks are out there listening throughout South America and they want to host you or find you or hang with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
That would be through social media. Come tweet at me, please. Follow me on Instagram. Yeah, it's at Salo Series, which is SALOSERIES.
Cool. And then let's say, you know, wishes for the new year. If you had kind of like a magic wand of things to facilitate your trip, aside from like a pile of money, which if anyone has that, Salo Series, check them out. But are there other things that, like, if people are out there want to kind of take care of you along the way, that you would love to get or hear from or have in your life?
Oh my God, a sponsor would be great. I'm shouting out at you, Fiat. I need a Fiat. Just Ooh, kidding.
Yeah, yeah, why not? I mean, you want something that like can be nimble throughout South America.
Exactly. But I just want to take you to the jungle. but I think something that would really help me along the way, especially, is like just a network of people that would be open to like having me in their houses, you know, and the food people who would be interested in collaborating with me. I think that's one of my wishes, is to keep having that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yana, thank you so much.
Thank you, Erin. This is so awesome.
Guys, check her out, follow her works. If you have some South American connects, shout them out, and you know, maybe plan a special trip. You can meet up for a pop-up, right?
Please meet me somewhere.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Heritage Radio Network. If you like this program, find us at www.heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. You can also hear more about Yana. She was on a recent episode of Radio Cherry Bomb, so check that out too. Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.